Right. Thanks, everyone, for joining Champagne and Planning. Rich, you're back.
I'm back unexpectedly. When I woke up this morning, I had no intentions or no idea that I would be sitting 12 feet from you today.
That's okay.
In a dining room style discussion.
I'm going to grill you on family dynamics and wedding planning. Shit. No, I'm just kidding.
All right, some ground rules here. First, okay. Are we on video too?
Yes.
We are.
Yeah.
We put up video here? Oh, we did. Okay. All right. So
Hold on. Let's take a minute to talk about the new podcast setup. Okay. Tell me what we got going on here.
Everything. Okay. So we have a flower wall.
I feel like Vanna White.
Yeah. Right. We have the city of Rochester. So hoping no one moons us. If I start laughing uncontrollably, that's what happened. There's a whole bunch of studio lighting. You feel like you might be on the Today Show.
I do.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have multiple different camera angles. There's about five figures worth of investment here in front of you.
We brought
these back from the pandemic era, mm-hmm. from our microphone when we had a podcast studio. So it's back.
Love it.
Yeah.
Well, I will say, I know you weren't here for when I walked in, but when I walked in ready to go, it was like, sat down, let's record a podcast. So
that's Austin and Mickey,
you know,
John, Andre.
Just want to give a little shout out to Encore's new setup
here. Yes, 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 yes.
All right. We talked about the fun stuff. Now getting into family dynamics. In wedding planning, we know that there can be different stressors. Oftentimes family can cause some of that. And we all have families, right? Like we know that those dynamics can be unique.
Sure.
But I want to talk today about how families can get involved in wedding planning, when they should and shouldn't. How we can equip our couples to address some of these issues and reduce their stress in that process. Some things I'm seeing are like financial, cultural, maybe some conflicting visions, you know, mom wants pink napkins and bride wants white. So we're going to talk about some of those things. But first, I want to bring up a scenario where we have one party paying for the wedding. I feel like this happens a lot, or they're contributing, right? They're contributing a significant amount. They also feel like they have a pretty big say in that, right?
It's a fine line to cross.
Yeah.
Yes.
So with that, we want to make sure that we're respecting the paying party, right? Like they're the reason that we're coming together in the financial sense, but we want to make sure that the main reason we're coming together to celebrate the couple, to have their wedding day, is really the forefront and the focus. So in thinking about that, you know, how can couples balance this? Is there something that like, you know, an area that mom might want to get involved with, but maybe it's not doing the floral on wedding day? Any thoughts on this?
Well, it's tough because without saying we want their money,
right?
It does help, right?
Right.
We do want their money and we love our parents. Mm-hmm. I think most of us,
yeah.
And that we want them involved in the process.
Right.
So you have to massage the fact that the parents are involved, mm-hmm. and the finances do help because
mm-hmm.
weddings are so expensive. All right. So how do we do this? So my advice always is, you know, you can't alienate the parents 100%.
Right.
And I say this coming as a bonus dad to five, mm-hmm. one who might get married in the next year or so, mm-hmm. 2 years. So I have a different angle on this,
right?
Than I did a couple of years ago. But you have to pay respect to the parents who are given finances, mm-hmm. given advice, given their love. You have to you got to massage that a little bit. So what does that mean? Does that mean they get a couple songs? I mean, you have to be able to negotiate.
Right.
You can't just collect their money and say no, mom or dad. Or whomever, you don't have a say in this. You have to give them something.
And I feel like we're talking about a lifelong relationship, right? Like, it's not just wedding day. Like, you can't just take their money, like you said, and then ruin that relationship. Like, that's not going to help either side.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with in-laws and stuff, too.
Oh, my
You know,
gosh.
That's a sensitive situation. You don't want the wedding to be the reason that, like, everything goes up in smoke,
yeah.
right? So, boundaries. I think communication early on. Here, I always ask my couples, what are the top three things that are most important to you? They might say floral, DJ, you know, food. Okay, well, what are your expectations for those three areas? And talk about that as a couple first before you ever bring in outside. I feel like couples sometimes bring in outside opinions a little too quickly.
Yeah.
From family. And it might even be because family's asking like, hey, you know, as soon as you get engaged, what's the first question? It's like, when's the wedding?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. We got engaged tonight.
Yes.
Like we haven't set a date yet. Right.
Right.
So I think family can have this like added pressure, but it's really, it's well-intended, right? Like, they are just coming from a spot of, like, excitement for you.
So, huge excitement.
Yeah, knowing that first, I think, is important for our couples. But then talking about, okay, where can they step in? So I know that you probably have this mindset, but maybe less day of tasks. And maybe what's something they could help with early on in the process?
So a couple things. One thing you said earlier on, as mm-hmm. far as the wedding day decisions, it's going to go beyond the wedding day because right. you're just starting this relationship. I mean, fast forward to the first holiday where mom wants to bring baked potatoes mm-hmm. and you can't stand baked potatoes, yeah. right? You let her bring the corn yeah. or whatever. So this is not going to be the only decision where you're going to have conflicting decisions to make.
Right.
So that's number one. Number two is I would recommend, and I think you would agree with me, mm-hmm. that we do less day of responsibility mm. because we want your parents to be involved in the enjoyment mm-hmm. and the presence of what's going on. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't have mom worrying about putting the flowers on the arbor minutes before the ceremony because she missed all of the fun
everything
stuff.
Everything she's supposed laughs, to be doing.
The giggles, the whatevers, right?
Yeah.
So back that up. Days, even, I mean, weeks before mm-hmm. the wedding. We're talking about, you know, help with invitations. Maybe right. a loved one is really good at calligraphy and they mm-hmm. want to handwrite the envelopes or right. throw the stamps on or something. Mm-hmm. This way, there's time. So if someone hiccups, you have time to recoup. Mm-hmm. It's not so stressful because as the days get less, stress increases, right?
100%.
And if you have a hiccup, mm-hmm. you can rebound from that. If mm-hmm. someone does something mistakenly, you can rebound from that. And you're present the day of.
Yeah.
So think ahead of time, not day of, with responsibilities.
I agree with that. I had a couple, lovely couple and lovely family. And the dad was so cool. But he was doing a mosquito treatment on the lawn the morning of the wedding. And I was like, you are supposed to be in photos in 10 minutes and you've yet to shower. Yeah. you know,
yes.
like that was, it was great that he was trying to contribute, but like maybe some of those things prior to, right? Try yeah. to really not make any, and a lot of couples sometimes will do like pickups of things. I really discourage pickups of like rental items, pay the delivery fee.
It's
always worth it.
You know, okay. and this is tough because when you're looking at the dollars and cents of everything, yeah. what can I chip away with? If I can yeah. just pick this up, if I can make this, if yes. I can do this, I can save $350. No. Trust me. Eliza. Pay for it.
Pay for it 100%. When that champagne shelf just shows up, that's going to be 10 times less stressful than the IKEA box that came
you know
with 52 screws and you don't even own a screwdriver.
Exactly. I'm going to give my wife a shout out
yeah.
Because we have friendly discussions about mm-hmm. the setup, paying someone to set up the entertainment center that you just bought.
Mm-hmm.
Amy, no problem. I can do this. She's like, the hell you can.
Right.
We're paying the $350.
Love that.
It's totally worth it or whatever it costs. But that's a huge... That's yeah. human nature to try to do it to cut.
Right.
30-second story for my fence is I was officiating a wedding. I don't do this much, but I do
it is this a talent that I don't know about?
I bring it out
on
occasion.
Are you free in 3 weeks?
And the aunt, mm-hmm. as her gift, was she was supposed to bring flowers for the arbor. So the aunt wasn't here. An hour goes by. Mm-hmm. Now 30 minutes before game time. Aunt's still not here. Mm-hmm. Everyone is in the country club waiting. I mean, the bar's not open. It's so uncomfortable. There's no music because the DJ is not started yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're outside. And the ceremony was late because the aunt arrived late with the flowers. And then how awkward was that? She gets there. Everyone's turning at her.
It's like, do we all clap?
Right? And she comes in and she's huffing it out to the outdoors. It's about to rain. And here's all the vendors trying to attach in a haphazard fashion the flowers to the arbor. You know.
No.
So.
And I don't love when things like that are seen, right? We want things to be finalized, finished up. So it's like your guests arrive and it looks like it's all good, you know?
Yeah.
And there's not family members that are frantically running in to try to like get themselves like back to presentable for photos. It's stressful for the photographer. It's just like everyone, you know?
It's a ripple effect.
It is.
And if you look at a wedding reception like a live performance,
yeah.
And that's where we get all the entertainment on these reels.
Right.
Wherever you get your social media scratch that social media itch, mm-hmm. is because someone else's event went awry.
Right.
And we're having a good laugh at it. Well, you don't want that to be your reception at your expense. So if you look at it from a live production where you have a cast, which is the couple, mm-hmm. The wedding party, you have an audience, which is the guests. If something happens, they will see that hiccup, whether the microphone pops or the aunt's late for the florist. They remember that. As much as they try not to, they will take that with them as a memory from your wedding that, you know,
didn't go well.
Whatever, it didn't go well.
So you know, it's interesting that you said that, because one of the questions on my style guide workbook is, what are things that you've seen at other weddings that you love, and what are things that you've seen that you really hate? And it's interesting. I'm going to save that for another podcast episode. But, you know, people see a lot and they observe quite a bit. So it's interesting that you say that, because they're definitely taking notes for their own wedding, too.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk a little bit about cultural differences. So a lot of times we're seeing couples now that are coming from two different cultural backgrounds, right? So we want to make sure that both cultures are honored in this. It also, I feel like it plays the biggest role maybe in ceremony, because there might be certain traditions or things that maybe the other side isn't familiar with. For example, we had a Catholic wedding, you know, half the side was Catholic, the other half was Indian. So we're really bringing together two unique ceremonies when there's different parts to it. There might be communion, there might be walking seven circles around, there might be a barat, you know, and how do we make sure that couples can, one, feel like each sides are comfortable? We don't want parents on one side to be like, yeah, I didn't know what was going on. And I've seen that just even being a guest at weddings, you know, where you can tell they're really just like, I don't really know what I'm supposed to do next. I think we can prepare them a little bit better beforehand.
Absolutely.
And then even too, like, it might be a difference of wardrobe, right? Like Indian weddings, they wear something so totally different. So do you have any thoughts or ideas there where we can kind of help guide that conversation?
Well, I'm going to take a page out of one of our staff member, Austin Reed, who in his video talks about we're all surrounded by love.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, that's what this is all about.
Right.
So for me, I love not only working, but viewing. Mm-hmm. And I think other people would agree with this, that we love viewing other cultures celebrate.
Right.
I know for Greek weddings, napkins are coming out.
Yeah.
It's loud. It's active. There's a circle or two. So I think the more you can advertise or educate is the right word, the audience, the family, who's ever coming to the reception ahead of time. So what does that mean? Well, maybe you explain the celebratory dress. I have a close friend who is from Pakistan, and some of their celebratory dress is just amazing. What does that mean? What is it called? What's the history behind that? Or how about samples of music? How about pictures of ancestors? Or, you know, a little bit more deep into the culture and what this means. Why do we smash a glass? What does Mazel Tov mean? All of that thing. So when they get to the reception and they actually experience it, it's not foreign to them.
Right. I think that's a great point. And, you know, I think that that document, or, you know, even a Pinterest board, or, you know, multiple ways that we can do it. One of the things that we did it was actually our first full service wedding. It was an Indian wedding. When we first did it, they said, hey, have you done any weddings before? I said, no, but don't worry, we're going to do all the research that we need to. Well, we put together a really comprehensive document for not only our team, but for all of the other vendors. This was a situation where when you entered the tent, you actually had to have a head covering on. You needed to remove your shoes. Our vendors would not have known that had they just shown up.
That's fantastic.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then too, all of your guests are likely, even if it is you know, the same culture on both sides of the family, you're still going to have guest friends from college, things like that, that may not share that same culture. So we can even share those types of things with them to say, hey, here's what it looks like when you get there. Or we can do signage, you know, please remove your shoes and have a head covering.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was something that was really important. And we want to make sure, like we said, both sides are really comfortable.
And also, before you move on, one thing too is, I think us Americans, we love to dress up.
Right.
So if there's a theme, or we love to dress up for Halloween. That's why Halloween nights, our Halloween weekends are so popular. So I equate that to is if the more information you can give ahead of time, I think you'll get buy-in from people. They might even invest in a different outfit to wear, because when are we going to do this again? This is so cool. When in Rome. And I'm going to match the decor or the culture.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
It's cool.
All right. This one is directly all you. No. But I feel like this is more on the DJ side of things. We're going to talk about speeches.
Okay.
I don't know. I will say I have really mixed reviews on speeches over the years. Because for bridesmaids, sometimes it's always, for those of you who don't know me.
Yeah.
I mean, that is like our standard start.
Eliza's younger sister.
It's like,
the better looking one.
I don't know if we needed that. Yeah.
But your speech at your Christmas party, your holiday party, was great.
All right. Let's.
So can we talk about that?
Luxury establishment.
Mickey, put that
That's
camera
all
on
I'm
right
going to say. No.
Yeah.
If you know, you know on that one. We'll leave it there. But let's talk about speeches. You know, some couples are deciding to forego speeches. I have this conversation a lot, but a lot of couples are still trying to incorporate this in. Say there's a situation, and I'm not saying it's always the groomsman, because it's not. We get, you know, all across the board, but a groomsman gets up there and starts just sharing. Oversharing, right?
Yeah.
We're starting from childhood. We're spending a good chunk of time in high school. Then we're like going into the depths of college. We're now at 7 minutes.
Oof.
And we're like talking dating history, all of the, I'm having heart palpitations. Okay. That's me in the corner just figuring out if I should find a hook.
Yeah.
How do we prevent this? How do you kind of help? Because why we're bringing this up in family dynamics is, I have a little bit more reserved family. If that happened to me, you know,
yeah,
they might be like, get this person out of here now. It can create tension. We've seen it do that. How can we better prepare even when we're asking someone to be the bridesmaid, the best man, you know, we're asking them to give a speech, guidelines we can provide.
Yes.
Give all me right. All of it.
So first off, I'll preface with Encore does about 550 weddings a year.
Yeah.
Every Monday morning or the first day back at work, our office team talks about every single event that happened. So we get a download of what happened this past weekend. So this may not have all happened to me, but I know firsthand from reliable sources that this does happen, but it doesn't happen a lot. I mean, I'm talking about egregious speeches. So first and foremost, pick someone who it's important to you for them to deliver a speech, regardless of their profession or if they're a good public speaker or not, because the goal is for them to communicate something that is from their heart.
Right.
And that's first and foremost. We can work on the delivery and the preparation. The second thing is they should start, a lot of times this doesn't happen until maybe the week or the night before the wedding. It needs to start months in advance.
Right.
And because you're going to have multiple different revisions. Think back to college about that essay. You put down what you want to write in bullet points, and then you craft a speech. The main parts of the speech, how long should it be? 2 minutes.
Yes. Thank
Live
you for
the
saying 2 minute that.
Zone.
People are like, so 5 to 10? No, never. That's going to get us to like 15 minutes.
Yes.
No.
Because their world, their 2 minute world is just theirs. You also have the other side who's in a speech, speak. So if that's another 2 minutes, now we're up to four. If there's a blessing, maybe half the time.
Right.
That's another minute. Now we're up to five. And then there's maybe a first dance. So now we're
Did
almost,
you guys want to eat dinner?
That's the
you
thing.
You know, like your guests don't want this either.
Yes. And the most expensive part of your reception is what?
Your meal
in
your bar.
So you want to get the meal there on time. And that's what the venue and the planners are stressing about, is to get them fed starting at 6 o'clock. And we can't shut the microphone off. I mean, no one's going to do that. So where we're at, live in the 2 minute zone, start early, start practicing. You need to practice, practice in front of a mirror, practice in front of the dog, record it, listen to yourself on your iPhone. Do the voice memo. How does it sound? And then once it starts getting better and more formulated, now you can practice in front of, you know, somebody else. And as far as the delivery the night of, I'm always a big proponent of, don't go on your cell phone. I mean, it just looks so unprofessional that you're reading off a cell
phone. Why do you think I brought paper notes?
Paper's great.
Yeah.
What's better? That black portfolio or something. So you can read off of that. And you ask me, how do I prevent this? I give little subtle reminders throughout the night to the to the Toastmasters. Yeah. All right, 2 minutes. 2 minutes. We got some delicious food. And I'll give them the or else. Right. Or else we're going to be late for food, and it's going to be a problem for them. So that's how I approach it.
You know, you said paper, and that's all fine, but can I tell you a horror story?
Sure.
You seem so hesitant. Like, well, I guess. So I had to give a speech, okay? Mm-hmm. This is at my sister's wedding. Wrote it all down. Maybe I had it typed out, right? Person I was dating at the time, I had given them my bag, and I was like, all right, yeah, hold on to this. I got some stuff going on. So kind. They put a cold water bottle in the bag, which was so kind of them, right? I get up to give my speech. All of the words
are mashed together. Really?
It was bad.
So you have a backup copy.
But to your point, I had rehearsed it.
Yeah.
So although my paper was toast, I still knocked it out of the park.
And I guess I didn't touch on the content, which is what you also alluded to, is the body of the speech. First off, I think it's polite to the parents or any type of person that has had a financial or a blood, sweat, and tears aspect of preparing the wedding. Yeah. Hey, want to give a shout out to Mr. and Mrs. Cranston, Mr. and Mrs., you know, whomever, for help throw this gorgeous celebration, right?
Right. That's applause. Always going to get you a good start.
Parents?
Bonus point.
Because they're sitting back, they're like, God damn, this thing's so expensive. Right. You know what I mean? Oh, thank you, Mr. Cranston. Oh. Love that man, right?
Yeah.
So that's, you have to recognize the parents first. Massage them a little bit.
Right.
And then you want to identify yourself real quick. They don't need your resume. Hey, I'm Rich. I'm Steve's roommate from college. You know, we are.
Right.
And then you tell a little story about the groom. But it's a brief story. Mm. And don't talk about the exes.
No.
Good gosh.
Why do we even have to say this?
If this happens, I'm not even joking. Wedding. You know,
oh my gosh.
And at one point, I remember hearing from one of my team members, you know, the person doing the toast had a relationship with the bride. And they started talking about that.
Oh, no.
Really?
Let's not go there,
seriously,
right?
That is a complete no-no zone.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just a good recognition. When you're done talking about the person, a brief roast, be comedic.
Yeah.
Be heartfelt.
Everyone likes a good roast.
Of course.
Short.
Keep it brief.
Yeah.
A minute. And then we're going to go on to the second party.
Right. And the roast, not the childhood secrets, right?
No.
Like, just a light roast, okay?
Yeah.
You know, bring something. Everyone's going to get a good laugh. We're good to
exactly.
go.
Remember those all-nighters we used to throw?
Oh, you know, that's so
funny.
You fell
asleep on the roof. Love that, man.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Moving on.
Aunt Amy. Oh, my gosh. You look. Doesn't she look beautiful, everybody?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I knew Rich, but when he met you, his life changed, blah, blah. Now you get into
Amy didn't know she was going to be incorporated in this podcast.
She's
so
incorporated in everything I do. She just doesn't, not around to see it all the time. So that's that. Then,
yeah.
And then you end. All right. Well, yeah, we're here to celebrate. Congratulations, you two. Lifelong of happiness and whatever, whatever. And here's one thing. I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but sometimes they'll close with, put your hand, Rich, put your hand on top of Amy's. All right? Mm-hmm. That's the last time you'll have the upper hand. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's popular.
Yeah.
You might see it again.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend against it because I think it's so overplayed.
It's overplayed and there's like mixed views on it.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's like, oh, you know, you get some people like, oh, you get some people that are cheer. It's like, what do we just do here?
It's like everyone reacts. Everyone has seen that before, including your 80-year-old Nana. All right. So just think of something else. There's so much other things you can do to close out. But
I think you crushed that one.
Yeah.
If you don't know how to write a speech now and not mess it up, then you should probably turn
the
podcast
off. Don't talk about the ex. Or the bachelor party.
No.
I mean, if
just, you know, chat GPT, things I shouldn't talk about in my speech. There you go. We just got it. All right. Let's talk a little bit about the guest list. Okay. And I'm going to pull in a question that we got from some of our viewers. We're struggling to create a guest list without offending or excluding people. I think this happens a lot, and I want to bring the family side into it as well, because we sometimes have couples that'll say, oh, well, my dad, you know, I don't know half the guest list because it's all of my dad's friends and, you know, maybe 50 people that I know. we were really hoping to keep it to a small, intimate gathering, but now it's just blown out of the water. One, what are your guest list rules off the top? Is it like significant other, 6 months, a year? What do you think? I'll put you on the spot with that.
Yeah, it's tough. I think you've got to give the plus one has to be pretty liberal.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think you can tell your cousin not to bring their whatever. I mean, no one wants to go to a wedding alone.
Yeah.
First off.
That's fair.
So I think it's pretty liberal on the plus one. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think it's bad to come up with an A and B list. Mm-hmm. I think you should budget and have an open discussion with the financial advisors, whether mm-hmm. it's parents or the godparent or whoever is mm-hmm. financially contributing. I really think and believe that they should have an allotment of parents. We're giving you 20 people right. And it should have an open discussion, but it comes true to your values, your roots of if it's a small intimate reception, it's not going to be 175 people.
Right.
I mean, small and intimate is 50 to 100 mm-hmm. in my point of view.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
100%.
But I mean, depending on who your parents are or what influence they have in the community or their business, they may have to invite other people. I know, for example, when my daughters get married, I am inviting a significant amount of people from Encore. And Emily already knows that. She's the first mm-hmm. one that's going to get engaged. And mm-hmm. she knows that. But that is just, I'm in this industry.
Right.
Right. I have to invite people that are close to me. Mm-hmm. I'm an owner of a company. Mm-hmm. I have to invite people that I'm close with. You're getting an invite. You know what I mean? So
great.
You know what I mean? So yeah,
I'll take the filet, please.
And medium. This is how it starts, right? No, but
and I'll need a plus one.
You have to. Just kidding. But you have to keep in mind who they are, and give them an allotment because if you're at the Strath, you can't go past 200, 205. You just physically can't fit that people.
And I think that's a great point. So before we ever get to guest lists, guest list is actually the first thing on my checklist. Like, send us your draft guest list. The reason being, it drives the budget conversation, and people don't realize that. They just throw a number out there. And a lot of my couples will say, we don't even know what weddings cost. Well, let's start here. How many people are you looking to invite? Because if you're telling me you want 250 people, but your budget is $30,000, I'm going to tell you, I'm sorry, it's not happening.
Yeah.
Because your food and beverage alone for your plated cost is going to already exceed that, right? So that's before we have to get any of our other vendors into that. So I think that's a really good conversation to have up front, is like, draft your guest list, then let that drive your budget by like your plated cost, and then go from there. What?
I have a question.
Oh, okay.
Is it possible that you can have an A and B and C list? So you send out your A's mm-hmm. and then you wait for them to get back a little bit. Mm. Oh, so-and-so who you thought was the key in. Because mm-hmm. from that A list, you have, okay, now we're up to 160 people. Mm. Now the RSVPs start getting back. And if an A-lister doesn't attend I'm sorry, we're going to be out of town that day, right? Oh, sweet. You pull from the B list. Can you do that?
Yeah. And I would say, here's the way you can do that. Not 3 months before your wedding, right?
So you got to have some time.
So I have a lot of full service couples that will say, all right, Eliza, and I work with my full service planning couples, usually 18 months out is pretty standard when they're booking our services. At that point, we 100% can have that conversation and come up with a plan. I've seen it done two ways. I had one where they wanted to just like gauge interest from a save the date. It wasn't a hard RSVP because you have to think too, logistics. You do not know your entrees yet. You've likely not done your catering tasting. So you can't ask that question. You can't always ask all the things you need to right at that point. But you could gauge interest from the save the date. Hey, let us know if you're planning to attend, just so with a yes or no on the save the date. Mm-hmm. That's probably the easiest way, because you're going to get some of those no's, some of those out of towners, things like that, that'll let you know right off the bat. Mm-hmm. And then that's where you can go to that other list. You can also do it with your RSVP and your invitations. But again, in wedding planning, like we see, everything's connected. If we're going to do that, catering tasting has to be much earlier in the process. We can't wait till 6 months, because that's when we need to probably send our first round. pre-COVID, it was 6 to 8 weeks on invitations. Now we see a lot of couples do like 10 to 12 weeks on invitations, just depending if it's all out of town, if it's all local. There's a lot of different things that play into it. But yes, you definitely can, as long as you do it early. Don't tell me you want to do that like right when we're going to send out standard invites. It's going to be a no.
Someone asked me the other day, in 2024, what is the going rate of gift amount that you should offer the couple? Mm. You're attending a wedding. What am I writing the check for?
What do you think?
I think it's $100 a head.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say 150. So I feel like 100, 150.
Okay.
And it depends, like couple, you know, person coming alone. I think that's a little different.
There's school of thought. If the reception is at a county park catered by Uncle Sam's Barbecue.
Bringing you a Chick-fil-A sandwich. No, I'm just kidding.
Do you, or if it's at an affluent venue, yes, with, you know, a three-digit,
yeah,
per plate, is it still 150, or do you cover the cost of the meal? That's another myth, fad, something out there.
I don't know. I think that there's also going to be situations where a majority of your guests are going to know based on your relationship. If it's been a family friend for years and years and they want to support the couple and they have a really close relationship, I've seen some pretty large gifts go ahead. I also think it's a cultural thing. So we were doing a few cultural weddings this year where it's expected that it's a certain amount and it's expected that you bring a card. You know, like that's something they're kind of not tallying it up, but it's, it's based on, it is kind of based on the level of the event.
Got it. But 150 is the average.
I think 100, 150 is good.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that's a good point.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked a little bit about guest lists. We talked a little bit about some other, family drama things. One that could be a really unique situation, and we ask on our questionnaires, is there any family situations we should know about? Usually we're getting like, oh, so-and-so is divorced or, this. We've seen some where it's, oh, this person has a problem with alcohol and we want you to be mindful of that. That can be a really sensitive situation on our end and from all the vendors, because our job is to put on a really great party, right? And like bring that out.
Yes.
We also want to make sure that everyone's safe. We want to make sure that the party stays fun and it doesn't quickly turn if there's another situation at play. So from the vendor standpoint, let's switch gears for a second. How can we kind of handle things behind the scenes? Coordination between bartenders, planner, DJ, just making people aware. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. Being an active listener. And from asking the right questions. Mm. And it starts with your planning.
Yeah.
The big things for me, from my point of view as a DJ, is I want to know about any deceased parents. Mm. And that's tough because if you are early on in the process, I don't serve up examples anymore. Like, you're dancing with mom. I don't know if mom's around. So I don't want to bring back any tearful memories. So I'm very vanilla when it comes to my examples. So deceased parents, number one, mm-hmm. or if just the parents not going to be there, number two, maybe the parent doesn't support the wedding. I've had a couple of those and they're not coming. Mm. Gosh, it must be very, very painful for the couple.
Right.
And it is. But divorce, also huge.
Right.
And that's okay. It's just what happens. But I want to know, I'm going to ask you, but I'll preface my couple. I'm going to ask you some personal questions because this is how I can best serve you. Your parents, your divorced parents.
Mm-hmm.
How's the relationship? Good? Because what happens is, what I'm thinking of is the lineup for introductions.
Mm.
Are they going to be able to freaking stand next to each other?
Yeah.
Right? And because, as you said, our goal as vendors is to give the best performance. Part of that performance is the level of jubilee that wedding party comes into.
Right.
And if mom comes in with a puss face because
dad brought his girlfriend.
Exactly. So we need to know about that.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to asking questions. And the couples are more than happy to share that. I've never had someone say it's none of your business.
Right.
You're bringing them into your home.
100%. I think that too, when you're asking about if anyone has passed, sometimes I do that in my questionnaire because I find that it's easier for them to say type something like that than I've had a couple on a call that they were asked about is there any, it was like a florist call. Is there any grandpa's boutonnieres? And it just, it hit a spot. Like it's a tough question. It was a recent death. So sometimes it's like, add that into your questionnaire so you can know that beforehand. And then a lot of times I'll ask my couples to elaborate on like a family dynamic situation. So yes. Like, all right, so tell me a little bit more about this. Like you said, is it civil? Sometimes totally civil and yep. Everybody's great.
Yes.
Other times it's like cats and dogs. So, right.
And us as professionals, we have right. ways to deal with that if yeah. mom and dad can't get along.
Right.
It's not your problem. It's no. just, it is what it is.
Yes.
Right. So, but we'll deal with it. But I yeah. think if the audience watching this and listening mm-hmm. to this is the wedding couple
yeah.
offering up that information, and if it's mm-hmm. too sensitive for you to bring it up, have your partner bring it up to yeah. us. Hey, not for nothing. Amy's dad's passed.
Yeah.
Rich's dad is passed, mm-hmm. Or you know whatever that is, mm-hmm. so we know.
Yeah,
we can deal with
that's
it.
A great point.
And then Aunt, you know, if Aunt Tracy has a drinking problem and she starts getting a little loud if she gets too many tequilas,
yeah.
we need to know that, you
right.
know. Or, but I'll also ask my clients. All right, is there anyone we need to worry about? You know, anyone who wants to come up and ask for karaoke or just is going to
be
in my
setting drinks on your equipment?
Well, yeah. You It's Sorry. Hard to control that.
Did I hit a nerve?
No. It's hard to control that. But, you know, is anyone I had to worry about that's going to come up and just ask, you know, weird songs or yeah. I see you don't want Drake. Mm-hmm. Is there anyone that's going to be coming up and requesting Drake and how mm-hmm. do I handle that?
So. And I think too that when it comes to alcohol related stuff, always let the bartenders and the venue manager know. That's like the first and foremost, right? Because they're the ones that are kind of seeing that serving it. You're laughing. I want to know what's going on.
You just gave me a memory.
A good one.
I should share it.
Okay.
I should share it. My okay. wife knows about it.
Okay.
So I had a wedding a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. I had a very tumultuous relationship, ex-girlfriend
okay.
in the wedding party.
Mm.
So when I was doing the planning meeting, I saw the name and heard her name and I about myself
mm-hmm.
and I had to compose myself and be professional, and I was working with another wedding planner, and I called her up after that and I said, you've got to save me, this is I got to tell you this, don't say anything mm-hmm. to the couple, completely professional. What this planner did was created a barrier of flowers between me and the dance floor mm-hmm. and I just didn't want any pictures or any access, or if my ex starts getting a little boozy
yeah.
coming over, because no. if I'm working, it's completely professional. Yes.
100%.
I'm professional all the time.
Hey, that was pretty crafty of the planner too.
Give her props.
You know?
For sure. But yeah, I mean, knowing that, and the couple eventually found out, and we all yeah. had a good laugh, mm-hmm. and there were no problems, but it's the first time I've had an ex-girlfriend mm-hmm. in the wedding. That was just weird because she had a date.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to have any beef with him.
Right.
Right. It's just, so that was, yeah.
But weddings. Yeah. Weddings are interesting.
Do you guys know about that? Yeah.
I always hate when I walk into a wedding and I know the guests. I'll be honest. I'm not a huge fan. I just want to do my job.
Yeah.
There's like job Eliza and there's, you know, friend Eliza.
Yeah.
So.
Of course.
They're not different. They're just.
Hey, we had a great wedding, right? I just I didn't
yeah.
I put everything in place because I didn't right. want things just in case.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, thank goodness a lot of venues don't allow shots, right?
Right.
And on that note, all right. No, this is great. I think that we really covered it. I want to kind of end with this. We all have families, right? I come from an Italian family. It's spicy.
It's spicy. Yeah.
We all have families, right? We get it. We know that there's going to be things. We're also a resource to you. And I share this with my couples a lot. As much as I am helping you pick napkin color and helping you navigate budget and all of that, I'm also the person that if you just need to like run something by or like, here's the situation, can you help with this? What have you seen? We've done how many weddings, right?
Oh.
We've yeah. seen a lot. And I always say like, oh, I've seen it all. I haven't, because at every single wedding, I'm like, well, I haven't seen that.
Always pick something up.
But you know what I'm saying? We have a good sense of this, and we can help you navigate it, even if it's not a situation of, yes, we've seen this, but maybe we've encountered something like that in our own personal, you know, encounters or families or things like that. So utilize your resources. I think that that's big. Anything else that you have in terms of family dynamics, just wedding planning in general?
Yes, I have two things, mm-hmm. if I may.
Yeah.
The first thing is how valuable experienced planners are. Yeah. And I'll preface with, the people out there, the side hustle that I've been married before, and now mm-hmm. I'm a wedding planner. I'm not throwing any shade towards those people. Right. But the key thing that you said, the word is resources. And that's where really planners shine, because they've seen so many different situations, mm-hmm. environments. And when A doesn't happen, it's the experienced planner to pull B out of their backup kit,
right.
you know? And that's what the friend planners don't have. That's my first point. Mm-hmm. The second point is, just remember that if family dynamics start to get a little overwhelming, you got to take a break, turn off the lights, mm-hmm. and just remember this is supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And try to just excommunicate that negative energy from your space. Because I've seen it impact couples, and usually during my planning meetings, which are about 4 to 6 weeks before the wedding, mm-hmm. how's planning going? Good.
Good.
Good. We're just down to the final details, and at this point, it's just going to happen. I've heard that so many times.
There's just going to be, people are going to show up. There's going to be a wedding.
Yeah. You know, and I tell you what, people just, they get so wound up and so tight on everything has to be perfect. This isn't the Grammys.
No.
You know, if one candle blows out or if whatever, who cares? No one's going to remember it.
Right. Yeah. And that's what, you know what, and I think I say this probably every podcast episode, but it's because people still aren't doing it. Date during the wedding planning process.
Yeah.
Because this is about you, right? Like, this is your wedding day. You got to keep that strong. And I won't say that the napkin colors don't matter, but they really don't matter in the grand scheme of things, mm-hmm. right? Figure out too, even with families, what can you let go? It's something that you're just not going to let it occupy your space because it's not that important to
yeah.
you. Let those things.
You're going to have to throw a lot of bones out.
You are.
Right? Just appease. Yeah. Fine. Mom, if it makes you feel better, mm-hmm. if I have pink napkin, I'll tell you what, napkins are going to end up on the floor or wiping up the spilled vodka.
That's fair.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, people 5 years from now are not going to be like,
oh,
pink napkins.
That was a terrible choice.
Those were the best. You know what I mean? They're not going to remember that. They're going to remember food. They're going to remember how they felt. And they're going to remember music.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not going to remember that type of stuff. So just
woosa.
Yeah.
Rich, thank you so much for coming back to Champagne and Planning. I know that people know probably from the last time, because if you didn't listen to the other episode, then shame on you. But tell everyone how they can find Encore Events.
Yes. So rochesterdj.com. We have two locations. If you're just taking a stroll, we are at Midtown Studio. Here, this is on East Main Street, 183 East Main Street, right below Arbor Midtown. Mm-hmm. And for a couple more months, we're going to be at 17 Pitkin Street. Mm-hmm. Instagram. So it is at Encore Events on the gram.
Love that. Yes. And if any vendors are interested in this awesome setup, who should they reach out to?
Yeah. So
podcast recording.
Yeah. Reach out to Encore. And then we have a small team that is responsible for all the logistics. You know, this, it's tough because I know the expense that goes involved into not only having a place that's pretty contemporary, but the equipment. So for a small business owner, that's tricky.
This is huge.
We want to just be able to take care of all that heavy lifting for you. And if you found anything that I'm saying resourceful, mm-hmm. I do a lot of education on my socials. I'm on Instagram as at Rich Cranston DJ. And I'm also on TikTok at Rich Cranston DJ.
Love that. And if you need a planner to help navigate this crazy process, ElizaJaneEvents.com. or Instagram at ElizaJaneEvents_, and we would love to help it out. And also, if you have anything that you want to hear on the podcast, we're going to be back here 100%. This was way too easy to not just walk in and record another podcast. Love so it. If there's anything you want us to talk about, shoot a message over, and we will see you in the next episode.
Thanks for what you do.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody.